I was in the bathroom this morning shaving, and thought come to my mind, and I want y'all to listen to this. I know you've heard the question asked many times, and a lot of times we think that we're, I guess, not responsible, or that it doesn't matter. But in Genesis, the 4th chapter and the 9th verse, there's a very important question asked here. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Now, for one thing, he lied because he did know. And the other one, he thought that's going to get him away from it by saying, you know, in other words, am I my brother's keeper? Am I responsible for him? And then what I'd like you to pay attention to, just one verse in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul, be ye, and this is the 11th chapter, the first verse, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Then if you turn over into 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter and the 22nd verse, flee also youthful lust, but father, follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Flee also youthful lust. Then if you'll go right on down in this same book into the 4th chapter and listen here what Paul is saying unto Timothy. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now, that question, am I my brother's keeper, Paul sort of answers in these by saying, follow me. Because he knew who he was following. He said, you be a follower of me even as I am of Christ. And then here, as he was instructing Timothy, you'll find that Paul had confidence in Timothy, but he was instructing him here. He said, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness. Now, we look around today and we see excuses being made, tolerations being made, examples that used to stand being torn down, and nobody is asking the question, where is the standard? And as Darrell was reading something in Sunday school about the different faiths and how that they are changing and the things that they're willing to accept this day and time, and it's not according to the Scripture, nobody is going back and asking the question, what does the Bible say on it? But we're coming to decisions today that will tolerate that the Bible says we wasn't supposed to. And we're willing, and the big question today is, What will we accept and what will we ordain? And today they're willing to ordain anything that stands up and says that God is calling them to preach. And yet we'll find, according to the Bible, there was some strict regulation of what God would accept as those that's going to be His ministers. And you and I, first of all, we got to be willing to preach the Word. We got to be willing to stand upon the Word of God and what it says. And I don't care who don't like it today. The Bible still does not justify sin and being away from me and you. That we can live and still get by. God tells us that what He marks is an abomination. What God calls sin. What standard God held up for what a Christian should be. And not change today. It's still the same in the eyes of God. And we might accept it. But God doesn't. And we find in that question, am I my brother's keeper? Where is the people that's going to cry the alarm to these that's following unrighteousness? And let them know that sin carries a pride. If a person chooses, they want to live a homosexual lifestyle. That's a choice that they can make. And I can't stop them. But God's got me held responsible to tell them what the consequences are. Just like a person that chooses to walk away from their wife or their husband and marry somebody else. God to tell them what the consequence is. And all those that live contrary to the Word of God have the same consequence if they don't repent. Get on their knees and get forgiven and live according to the Word of God. When this life is over, God told them and tells me and you today what the consequence is. And not because man has changed the standard, but because God's standard still holds supreme. And when we stand before God, He says sin, if we have it in our life, is not going into that holy city, but will be turned into hell. And all those that choose to live that way, and you'll find here what He was saying. He said, flee also youthful lust. You and I today, there's so many times when we're young, we say, oh, I've got to be entertained. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. Because I want to enjoy life. Well, I tell you, the most fun you'll ever have is in serving God. Living a life where you have the blessing of God upon you. Not choosing to do that. That maybe it takes to satisfy us here for a little while and then stand before God and be rejected for all of eternity. You know, Paul, he showed in his writings, in every one of them, you read them, in every one of his writings, Paul showed that he was concerned about his brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul looked upon it that he was their keeper. Why? He took time to write these letters to instruct them in the Scripture in what God required of them. Why? Because Paul wanted them to be able to be with Him in heaven someday. You and I today, that's what God required of each and every one. I look around and I wonder about moms and dads that don't care enough for their children to take them to church, to live a life in front of them with an example. How would they stand before God? How are they going to stand there, clean themselves? I've often wondered about it. A person that knows about God and yet never seen the fine time for himself. And he looks around and he sees these young children coming up and walking in his front door. Don't he realize that's an eternal living soul that's never going to die? And he leads them into a place of torment for all of eternity.
They always got to be working. It don't provide for their soul, but it provides for their own needs and wants to make sure that they have their boats, their entertainment, of whatever it might be. And the child is neglected about the most important things in life. You know, a lot of times people think, what's important for my child is to see that it has what it wants, and there's food there for it, and to supply all of the modern gadgets that a child wants, because I can't have the neighbor's kid having more than my kid. And those are not the important things. You know, a kid, when they grow up, it's not going to stick in their mind about the computer games that they have. By that time, that will be long forgotten. There'll be other things to entertain them. But you remember back when you was a kid, what stands out in your mind? You know, I can remember going to church. I can remember places that we lived. When I was so young, I hardly remember anything much about the house. But I remember the shed where we had some little boards setting up all the blocks that was supposed to have been the pews, and we played church in. I can remember that, but the house, basically about all I remember is the front door and how that it was on the porch and going in the stairs and went upstairs. And I remember a back door that went out into a little orchard. But I don't remember much about the house. I don't remember much about the view. Looking over the hill where it was all. I just remember that little building, that shed where we sat in and played church. 5 o'clock, 3 or 4 times a week, I would take it to church, and I'd see it was something important with my parents. You and I today, and we'll teach that to our children. What is our children saying that is so important to us? And then if we can't stay away from the doctor, we got more faith and some new medicine than we have. And ask God for the things that we need. What is it our children are saying that we worship? Is it God? Or is it our own self? Before we put it before all the things of the Lord. You and I today, we can look back at Paul's life and we can say, without a doubt, everybody that knew Paul, seeing God was first with him. Why? He denied his own body. It made no difference what that body was suffering. Paul still went and done what God wanted him to do. When they locked him up that he couldn't go, he still sat down and wrote to see that the gospel went out. You and I, Paul did not know why he was being locked in prison. But if Paul had been locked up in prison, we wouldn't have a lot of his writings today. The very suffering that he was going through, man. You and I had the gospel to carry. God looked down across them and seen how it was needed. Paul wrote down, did not realize that what he wrote would be so treasured. Me and you today, we all realize the Christian life. But more of our children in times ahead will be greater. Oh, I wish I was able to take you back and let you hear some of the messages. But every being some of the services that he was in. But I know what it was to me. And you and I today, we need to make that a goal for our children. That it all take it to through worship of God. Boy, when times get hard, they can look back and realize that they was something
that we would not compromise for and would not even to the point of denying ourselves when we felt a little bad. You know, it's a strange thing. I've seen people get up and go to work when they had a headache. Get up and go to work when they had a sprained ankle. Get up and go to work when they was sick and even throwing up. But, you know, when it comes church time, anything's an excuse that we can stay home with. And, you know, it's something. I've had people to tell me what was wrong with somebody, and right within me, I had the feeling from the very marrow of my bone that it wasn't justified. But I don't have that right to say that. But I'll tell you one who does, God. He looks down and He knows where it's an excuse or if it's a reason. You know, an excuse is something that we give. A reason is something why. You know, they can be weights here on the floor hooked to a barbell of 500 pounds. And I can use all the excuses of why that, you know, I can't lift that. But, you know, until I try, I will never know. But because I have tried to lift a lot of weight in my life, I know there's a reason why I can't. Not if it's 500 pounds. My body's not strong enough. But me and you, if God tells me to lift that, if I really got faith to believe that God's real, if I really got faith to believe He's my Savior, and God actually told me to lift it, all I have to do is get a hold of it and start, and it will lift. Why? Because God can help you do the impossible. Me and you, are we giving excuses why we can't do what God says we can? We need to try. It's far better to try than it is just to give up. You know, my dad, when we moved to a farm in North Carolina, when he bought the farm, there was an old mule that come with it. Well, she really wasn't all that old. And I don't know what that mule had been called beforehand, but Dad called her Dobbin. And you could count that mule's ribs about as far as you could see her. She didn't look good at all. And when the day Dad settled on the farm, he went there and there was hay in the mow and a corn crib that had a bunch of corn in it. And the guy that was living there, Dad told him, he said, I want you to start and give this mule 2 bats of hay in the morning and 2 bats of hay in the evening. And I want you to give her 6 ears of corn in the morning and 6 ears of corn in the evening. And that guy said, you can't feed that mule that much, you'll founder. Dad said, you ain't going to founder that mule, and I've got some work I want her to do, and she can't do it in the shape she's in. I remember when we moved to that farm, Dad would go out there and he'd work that mule and you just talk to her and she do whatever you said. Didn't even have to have the line for her to pull. Just talk to her and she'd go left or right. But when you took her in that barn and you went to unharness her, she'd stand there with her ears laid back and she'd start quivering. By the time you got the last piece of harness off of her, and she just spit on the dime and run out of that barn, and it was because the man, always when he got done harnessing her, he'd take the last piece and swore for with her. What the hell he leave her tied up? When he come down to just that row, he leave her tied up and he started brushing her,
And it wasn't no time. He could take all the harness off, the bridle off, and she'd stand there, learning that gentle hand that he cared for. You go to her out in the middle of the field, instead of walking off, she'd come right up to you, want you to pet her. Oh, she got so fat, but that you want to see you to a big maple tree with a limb still on it. They're all by herself, and he called on her to pull. I remember seeing her. He was jumping in that water trying to pull it, and her feet just sinking into the ground. And about the fourth try, he started to move, and all were called. That one that was treating her that faith that she could do what he was asking her. She kept trying until she was plowed up her with the crooked limbs on that tree. Still pointing all because Dad asking of her. Don't he believe she could? You and I, God, don't ask anything that he don't know we can do. He's a way for us to try. And if we don't, we've failed him. And Paul here in his writing give us plenty of examples that we can. And he was telling Timothy what Paul was requiring because God was requiring it. And he was telling Timothy that he loved him and he was concerned about him. You'll find in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, I think it's the first verse, Paul tells Timothy that I remember you always in my prayers. Night and day, you're in my prayers. And don't show like somebody that wasn't concerned about his brother, was he? He was so concerned that Paul wrote to him, but then he prayed all the time that God would give Timothy the strength and the courage to stand and do just exactly what God was calling to do. Me and you today, we might say all our can, but have we give God that 110%? I'm looking things in my life that I thought I couldn't do, but when I begin to try, I found out I even surprised myself. Well, why don't we try? Why don't we give God that 110%? Because surely we can read in the Word of God where He gives all that He has for us. Have we done anything close to that for Him? Paul, he gave all that he had for God and died rather than compromise. Me and you today are our children, our neighbors, our loved ones looking at us and seeing an example of a person that will not compromise on the Word of God. Are they seeing an example of a person that denies their self when it comes to serving the Lord? You know, it's strange. You'll hear people, they can get up in the week, whatever time it is needed for them to go to their job, but on Sunday morning, they just have to sleep in. And you know, most jobs start way before Sunday school time, don't they? And we could even sleep in an hour or so longer and still make it to church on time for Sunday school. But there's people who can't even make it to church at 11 o'clock because they just got to sleep in that day. Well, you know, I wonder how it's going to look when they come to the time that we stand before God and God sees us as we really are. And He reveals unto us just as we really are. You know, have you ever had somebody come up to you and start laughing?
and say, go look in the mirror. And you didn't realize there's anything wrong. And you go look in the mirror, and here you see there's something black, there's something the matter with your faith that you didn't even know. You thought everything was just fine. But because that some way or another you got yourself messed up, you wasn't aware of. You know, I'm afraid that's the way a lot of us is going to be when we stand at judgment. We're going to be standing there thinking, well, I'm okay. Because we've been measuring ourselves by man's standards, not by what God requires. But when God's big mirror shines on us and we see ourselves as we really are, we're not going to be well pleased. You know, I heard a person talk once about what it would be like to die and the knowledge. You know, you hear people say, my life flashed before me in just a second's time. That's the way it's going to be when we die and we stand before God. Our whole life that we lived is going to be there, just present within our mind in a moment's time. All of the wrong that we did, unforgiven, is going to be right there staring us in the face. Just as plain as could be. That we forgot about, it's going to be there as a witness against us. Me and you today, we've got the Word of God. Paul here, as he wrote to Timothy, listen to that again. And this is a place where each and every one of us needs to get before it comes our time to depart. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. We've got to be fighting that fight that God had. That don't mean sitting down and hiding. But that means if, just like the day of silence is supposed to be coming up in their schools for homosexuality, if you're a Christian, that means stand up and speak out against it. Don't be silent. Let them see that's not something that you're not pleased with, and neither is God. This is supposed to be a God-fearing country. Though we may be trying to push him off in the corner or under a rug somewhere or another, don't let it happen in your life. Stand up and speak out and let them see. And here, he said, and finished my course. I don't know. To be quite frank with you, when I was just a young Christian, I never foresaw being in the state of Missouri at all. In fact, as a young Christian, the way the world was getting, I figured in the 80s, way before 2000, that the Lord would be back. Well, I don't know why the Lord hasn't come back before now. But I'm still going to be faithfully waiting for Him until the death angel calls or till the Lord comes back, whichever one. And you and I, you know, we must fight that fight. We must keep the faith. We must endure to the end of our life. And if we do, then we'll know what's waiting for us. Just exactly what Paul talked about here. We've got to finish the course God has set for us. And if it's not over in a week's time, if it's out there another 20 years or 30 years, if time stands, still be faithful. All the way to the end. Finish that. What God's got for you. You might think, as I did, boy, it'll be so much easier when I get my children grown. But you know, I look at little grandchildren and I find they're just as precious. And I find the prayer for them is still the same as it was for my children. God, you deliver them, Lord, help them to grow up. The hunger and the thirst after you, to desire you above all things. Hear this cry, you and I today. God wants us to do that. And however long that I'm here, I want to be the one to cry, so that they just as Paul did, that what awaits us was well worth anything we had to go through here. You know, I look at Paul's life and I look at my life and I feel ashamed. I've had it easy. I've had it easy. I have been wonderfully blessed. And yet, still the same heaven awaits that awaited for Paul. You and I today, we don't have an excuse. Paul, if 99% of the people suffered half of what Paul suffered, we would say they're justified and set down some or another equipment. Why? Because nobody wants to hear. They tried to put them to death. Why should they keep pushing forward? But Paul, after crawling out from under a pile of rock, got up the next day and traveled with the Lord. Me and you today, just because we have a headache, even a broken foot or a broken heart, we can't say, God, I'm justified in saying all right. Why? Because Paul had much word, and he wasn't. God had a work for him to do, and he got one for us. And if it's no more for us than living a life in front of our children, that they might become Christians, that is a great work. You know, if we lead our children to the Lord, and they lead their children to the Lord, and that goes on down through, after a while, there's going to be a great multitude that come from the one, isn't it? Abraham, look. Abraham and Sarah, they started out just the two. But in their obedience and faith in God, a nation sprang up, a multitude that the Bible said was like the stars of the sky or the sands of the sea. You and I today, I don't know how long it will be before the Lord comes by. But from you, if you pass on to your children, and you instill in them the virtues of God and His righteousness, and they instill it in their children, just 25, 30 years from now, look at the amount of people that would be. Me and you, we've got a great responsibility. And it's to keep the faith, to finish our course, to do what God has set forth. Why don't we get a song to sing? Please, I beg you, if your heart's not where it should be with the Lord, will you pray? God is still got mercy extended unto each and every one of us if we'll only believe. We can find forgiveness. But each one of us today, the God of the Bible is the one we're going to have to do business with. Not the one that a lot of people is talking about today. You know, you'll hear statements as if it don't matter whether we believe in Christ or not. We can still be a Christian. It don't matter whether we believe in the plan of salvation or not. We can still go to heaven. You know, even to say that, we make the very Son of God a liar. And God said, let every man be a liar, and him the truth. So who are you going to believe? And I ask you today, has God ever lied to the human family? You can't find one place. But has man ever lied to you? It ain't been many years ago, I remember a president sitting before national television saying, I didn't when he did. And all kinds of lies has come from our politicians and people that they'll put all their faith and trust in. And man has proven to be untrustworthy. God has proven that you and I can trust Him with our very life and soul and that of our family. While we stand and sing, will you come? Are you your brother's keeper? Are you doing that that God is asking of you, that you might reach your brother, that you might be that witness unto them to help them see just what God has for them? You know, it's not real good to tell somebody something if they don't see you doing it. But if they see you doing an being an example, then maybe they'll try. You know, if you see a person that's big and fat, and they're going around giving you a diet for you to follow, you might not say it to their face, but you're going to walk off and say, well, why don't they take their own advice? If it's all that good of a diet, why are they fat? Well, me and you, if we tell somebody a Christian life's the best way to live, and they're looking at us and they're not seeing that, they're not going to be believing it, are they?